So, the original opening line for my chapel address this morning was as follows. According to the posters around campus, the theme for this day of Spirit Week is superheroes and villains. But yesterday evening, just as I was putting some of the final thoughts together for my chapel address this morning, I heard my children talking about how the theme had been changed and today is Pink Day. Oh no. So how about if you all put your pinkish thoughts on hold for a few minutes and think along with me about the topic of superheroes, since that's what I'm prepared to share with you this morning concerning. Now, expecting as I was to see a variety of individuals dressed up in various superhero costumes today, I was going to ask those of you that dressed up if anybody felt just a little bit stronger when they put on the outfit. More than anything else, it seems that a super high level of strength is that which defines superheroes of comic books and the movie screen. And the super strength of these fictitious folk sometimes seems to be related to an additional item. It seems as though at times people become supposedly much, much stronger when they don a certain outfit or piece of clothing. Perhaps for others, when they consume some special meal or drink or beverage. Perhaps others, when they put on some type of jewelry like a ring. But have you ever heard of the real life hero, not a fictitious individual, the real life hero who felt his strongest when he was weakest? You have, actually. You just might not recognize him on the basis of that description. The hero of whom I speak is the Apostle Paul. He was not the superhero, with a capital S, that's Jesus Christ, the one who possesses all power and is far more mighty than anything else in existence. And how wonderfully Jesus, the superhero, did come to our rescue. When we were hopelessly doomed, facing an eternity of misery, and completely without the ability to free ourselves or rescue ourselves, Jesus took off from his heavenly throne, took on our human nature, and took on our enemies, demolishing the stranglehold of death and overcoming the condemnation that we had because of our sin. Jesus, to whom all power belongs in heaven and on earth, delivered us and has opened for us the gates of eternal glory and joy. And shortly after he completed his stupendous work, his amazing accomplishments on our behalf, he ascended into heaven, from where he gave to his church apostles, prophets, evangelists, various types of witnesses, small s superheroes, so to speak, among whom was the Apostle Paul. And Paul really was something. He stood up to his adversaries. He survived beating and stoning. He came into contact with a dead man once, and the dead man came to life. He was bitten by a venomous snake, and he shook it off completely unharmed. And when did the Apostle Paul view his strength to be at its height? When he was weak. This is how he explained it. To keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations. Paul had been given really special revelations, things to see and experience. To keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Among the many flaws which Paul recognized in himself was the same deep-seated problem that every single one of us as descendants of Adam has: pride. By nature, we think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. We naturally think that our achievements are the result of our own abilities, that our gains are the result of our own energies, that our accomplishments are somehow the result of our own innate talents, easily forgetting that all such positives in our lives are the direct result only of God's blessing and gifting. And it is such pride that actually puts us at odds with God. When a person is filled with pride, when one views himself or herself as being self-sufficient and independently strong, the result is similar to that which happens when the positive field of one magnet approaches the positive field of another magnet. There's resistance. They don't connect. Pride actually works against the power which the Lord is anxious and ready to share. And since pride is so often inflated after the experiencing of some kind of successes, the Lord, our shepherd, often finds it necessary to deflate that pride through the entrance of some difficulties or hardships or challenges. To keep me from becoming conceited, Paul said, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Paul had troubles, he had difficulties, and there was one issue in particular. He simply referred to it as a thorn that he found particularly troublesome. We don't know exactly what it was. It may have been some physical ailment. It may have been something internal with which he was struggling. All we know is that it really bothered him, to the point that he said, "I pleaded 3 times with the Lord about it, that it should leave me." It got in his way. It was an irritant. It kept him, apparently, from achieving all that he thought he might achieve, or at least achieving it in the way that he thought he might achieve it. But despite his pleading, God left the thorn in place. And in his weakened state, Paul thrived. He did amazing things. His work prospered. When the Spirit brings us to an accurate estimation, an assessment of ourselves, an awareness of our complete dependence on Christ for all things, he does sort of a turnaround, so to speak, in order that we might tap into the power of Christ and receive the far superior strength. When God revealed to Paul that he would leave the thorn in place, he explained, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." All we need is God's grace. Neither our survival nor our successes can emerge from anything other than his loving kindness. As the hymn writer wrote, all depends on our possessing God's abundant grace and blessing, not our own talents, not our own abilities. And when we're dependent on Christ, though weak in ourselves, we're connected to the greatest power there is. Elsewhere, Paul declared, "I can do all things in him who strengthens me." Great strength can be experienced when a Christian is weakened through hardships that might lead to a greater dependence on the power of Christ. And so benefit can be found in the hardships of life. Martin Luther, an individual who was extraordinarily gifted himself, wrote, "God leads those whom he has graced with great gifts into very grave temptations, that they may learn that they are nothing. Paul carried a thorn in the flesh, that he might not become proud." And elsewhere, Luther wrote, "Indeed, faith is actually stronger in trouble and adversity than it is in good fortune. As 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, my strength is made perfect in weakness." And so, Paul's conclusion, "Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." So, who are the truly strong in the kingdom of the superhero Jesus Christ? Those who wisely see themselves as nothing and see Jesus as everything. Those who connect to the one by faith, who died and rose again and has opened to us the gates of paradise, who rose and lives forever, that he might enlighten, enrich, and empower. We sing of him and his power in hymn 209, the first and last stanza, stanzas 1 and 4 of 209.